It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Hoffman Show on a Thursday here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Tonight, Wizards basketball follows us. Tomorrow, we have the Capitals as Alex Ovechkin is just 3 goals away from Wayne Gretzky's all-time record. We'll have some coverage of that tomorrow. I think, Anthony, we might have to have Steve Wino on the show tomorrow. Because, one, Wino's the AP's national hockey writer and one of the best guys covering the NHL, period, out there at all. Two, apparently Wawa's expanding in Northern Virginia. I saw that headline today. And Steve Wino's also the Wawa correspondent in Washington, D.C. media. So it feels like we have to have Wino on the show tomorrow.
Let's do it, baby.
All right, so we'll do that tomorrow. But we're going to start today's show with a quiz for Anthony Haney. Anthony knows this quiz is coming, although he does not know what the quiz is going to be. And the premise here is to talk about the Commander's options to acquire a playmaker, and specifically a running back, in the NFL draft. Because this has become a popular thing to mock to them, either a running back at the end of the first round at 29, or certainly acquiring one in the second round. And so what I wanted to do was quiz Anthony on the recent history of the Commanders' leading rushers. So your quiz, Anthony, is going to be, very simply, can you name the leading rusher on the Washington franchise? We're going to go all the way back to Alfred Morris.
Okay.
And the Alfred Morris years. And what I want to do in doing this is two things. First, figure out how the Commanders acquired that player, right? So we're going to find out recently, how did they acquire their leading rushers? Do they spend high draft capital, no draft capital? Where do these guys come from? And then I think it's worth asking at the end of this quiz, was that even a useful exercise? Because do they need to actually be better in these categories? Because maybe we've discovered that, to get the leading rusher that has a pretty good season, you don't actually have to spend that much draft capital. But maybe if the Commanders had at times and had better playmakers, maybe they would have had better results. So Let's go through the, and also we get to, have some fun along the way and see if Anthony can remember anything. I thought about, do we recruit a third person and quiz us both, but I'm just going to quiz you, Anthony.
Okay.
Who was the Commander's leading rusher last year?
Jaden Daniels.
That is correct. He was taken with the second overall pick. He's also a quarterback, so a little bit different. Who was the Commander's leading rusher in 2023? Hint, he was also their leading rusher in 2022.
Brian Robinson.
That is correct. So, you have a third-round pick who is your leading rusher, which I think is pretty common across the NFL. that you can find backs that if you give them carries, they will play pretty well. Now, 2 years ago was the Sam Howell, Eric Bieniemy year. They didn't rush for anything. Their rushing yard rankings were terrible. Their offense was absolutely god-awful. But 2 years ago, the final year of Scott Turner, like, Brian Robinson had a pretty decent year. Brian Robinson in the past 2 years, or I should say the past 3 years, 2022 was his rookie year, had 797 yards. 2023, he had 733 yards, despite the fact that he had, so that's what, 60-something less yards on 20-something, or sorry, 30-something less carries. Mm. So, or maybe it was 28 less carries. The average floating right around 4 yards per. Last year with a better running game overall, split the difference on carries, had a career high 799 yards. It's just that Jaden had more.
Yeah.
So Brian Robinson, currently the leader in the clubhouse. The previous 2 years, 2021, 2020, who was the Washington football team's leading rusher? And at that time, that's not me making a joke, it was actually the Washington football team.
Antonio Gibson?
That is correct.
Okay.
Antonio Gibson in those 2 years, he had, 2020 and 2021, 795 and 1,037 yards. So that includes a 1,000-yard rushing season for Antonio Gibson in 2021. And he was a third-round pick as well, if I'm remembering correctly.
Or late?
No, third round, 66th overall. Okay. So, again, so two 4 years in a row, rookie contract guys. Now we get fun. Who is the Commanders or the Washington franchise's leading rusher in 2019? He was also the leader in 2018.
2019 is Terry's rookie year?
Yes.
And you say he was the leading rusher in 2018 too?
Yes.
So it's not Chris Thompson?
No.
2018,
he was over 1,000 yards.
2018? I'm blanking.
Adrian Peterson.
Oh my gosh.
So, free agent, signed in training camp, 1,042 yards in 2018, 898 in 2019.
God, yeah, I definitely forgot AP was on our team.
Yep. That followed 2017 when who was the leading rusher?
I'm going to do bad. Fat Rob Kelly.
Everything is really.
Chris Thompson.
No, you... I mean, the fact that you just pulled Fat Rob Kelly is amazing. He's the correct answer in 2016. In 2017, with 603 yards, fourth round pick, Samaje Perine.
Ah, okay.
Was Washington's leading rusher. 2016.
Rob Kelly.
Rob Kelly. I used to have a Fat Rob sweatshirt and everything. Fat Rob had, man, I can't believe that dude only played 3 years in the league. 704 yards in his rookie season.
Mm.
Year before that,
this 2015?
2015.
2015, is that Alfred Morris's last year?
That was Alfred Morris's last year. He was the leading rusher all the way back to his rookie year in 2012.
Yeah.
In those years, he had 751 yards rushing his final year in Washington, 1,000 yards 2014, 1,200 in 2013, 1,600 in 2012. So Alf was a sixth round pick. Kelly, I believe, was an undrafted free agent. So the taking Jaden Daniels out of it, you either have a training camp signee that you brought back in Adrian Peterson, who was obviously a first round pick, but a decade prior, or a pair of third round picks in Ryan Robinson and Antonio Gibson as your leading rushers. This is kind of how the NFL goes. By the way, Anthony, well done.
Thank you, sir.
Very, very well done.
I was very upset, though, that Chris Thompson wasn't somewhere. Because I know he caught a lot of passes out the backfield.
He did.
That's what it was.
I think in total yardage, he might have gotten a couple of those years. Certainly, like, the year that Perine had, like, 600 yards. Unless that was the year that Chris broke his leg in New Orleans. He probably had the team's leading all-purpose yard guy that year. Although, that 2017, Deshaun might have still been here. Anyway, the point is, running back is a position where you can find guys that can do a job anywhere. Think of all the guys that have had big games here over the years. I think of all the different guys I covered. Guys like Capri Bibbs, who looked really good in short bursts. And that is the nature of that position. It is a position where there's a lot of dudes who grew up playing running back because they were the best athletes all over the country, got, you know, pared down at the college level, and then they get to the pros and they can still do a lot of the running back stuff at a decently high level. And if they have a good O-line, like, it's, if you're a good college running back averaging 4 yards a carry in the NFL behind a good offensive line, relatively speaking, to translating to other positions, is not that hard. What makes really great running backs, and what I think the question becomes for the Commanders in this draft, is there a guy that's distinctly better than that? Obviously, Ashton Jeanty is the souped-up golden version of it, right? He sees it better than most guys see it. He's quicker. He's stronger. He's got good speed. He also catches the ball out of the backfield. He also blocks. He's a true three-down player who can do everything. And if that's what you're looking for, that is rare. The other part of the running back equation and why spending early round picks is typically not worth it is you want guys with early round picks that you're going to want to give a second contract to. And the nature of the position is you typically don't want to give a running back a second contract because most of them are not worth it. It becomes a quick diminishing returns. You pay a guy a bunch of money because he's produced and then he falls off the age cliff and you're in trouble. Now you got to go replace him with a rookie anyway. So this is the dilemma that I think the Commanders are in. Because I think that a really dynamic playmaking running back would go a long way to help Jaden Daniels in this offense. If you can have that easy button, you see what it does for even the best quarterbacks. I mean, I was going to say Jalen Hurts and getting Saquon, but their offensive line, everything, like, that's, I want to say it's a unique situation, but it's a fairly unique situation. But think about how much Drew Brees was helped over the years, right? Drew Brees, I'm not trying to take anything away from Drew Brees. Hall of Famer, first ballot, as he should be, one of the greats, holds, you know, passing records, the whole deal. But Brees had Mark Ingram, he had Alvin Kamara, he had, I think early, he had Deuce McAllister.
Yep.
Going all the way back. They always, with Sean Payton, could run the football. And I think you see in Denver how much Sean Payton can take a guy, and they want to upgrade dramatically at running back. And I think that also is, like, kind of the point, right? Last year, they found some young guys who could play enough for them to support Bo Nix, who's no Drew Brees, at least not yet. And they're looking this year in the draft, and they're like, can we please get Omarion Hampton at 20? Like, because Sean Payton wants a dynamic playmaker. He realizes how helpful it can be. So, again, not saying that, you know, Peyton Manning, Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, like, that, you know, that's when he was at his absolute best, is when you could play off of that running game. And you have guys that can just be an easy button for your quarterback. And so, for guys like Travion Henderson, who are kind of up in that range of, like, is this guy a fringe first-round pick? I don't hate the idea for Washington if there's nobody else on defense, especially, that you feel really strongly and passionately about. But I'm also wary of overspending when you can find maybe not great players, but really, really, really good backs. Third, fourth, fifth, Alfred Morris, sixth round, basically every year in the draft. So this is kind of the question that I have for folks on the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's say the Commanders use one of their first two picks on a running back. You good with that? 301-230-0980. Anthony and I will chime in more heavily, and we'll take your calls next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. So, Commanders undoubtedly could use a playmaker in the upcoming NFL draft, or two. And I think that limiting it to just wide receiver is probably a little bit silly. I think it's unrealistic. I think you could see one at tight end. I think you see one at running back. It's just going to depend on how the board falls. But I think the thing that's worth pointing out when it comes to tight ends and running backs, specifically compared to wide receivers, is star receivers are expensive. Like, really expensive. Like, Ja'Marr Chase just became the highest paid non-quarterback in football. Expensive. Tight ends, relatively cheap. Running backs, relatively cheap. So if you take one on a rookie deal, the discount is not nearly as steep as finding one in free agency. And depending on what your winning window is, the development time and all that kind of stuff, this all factors in. That said, you get your stars in the draft, and if you think you got a star at running back, do you pull the trigger? If Colson Loveland falls to you somehow, the Michigan tight end at 29, I think you're doing backflips because there's your Zach Ertz replacement that can hopefully grow with Jaden Daniels for the next decade. I don't think he's going to get there, but we'll see. So if the Commanders went at 29 or in the second round at 61 running back, how'd you feel about that? 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. Let's go to George. George, thanks for calling. Get us started. You're on the Hoffman Show.
So, Craig, normally I'd say I agree with you. You know, fourth round, sixth round, you can get yourself a good running back. But, I mean, Peters has so much leeway right now. I've given him so much benefit of the doubt right now because of what he pulled off last year, that if he finds a guy late, you know, like a 29 running back, and he says that's the guy, I'm going to say if he says that's the guy, then that's the guy because he showed me a lot. What I said to Anthony really quickly on the phone, though, is that I don't understand what is it about Chris Rodriguez that they don't like, because every time I see him out there, the guy will flash. And, you know, he's not Saquon Barkley, but I think I thought he'd be the starting running back over Robinson. So I'm not sure I see what it is that they don't see.
I think it's a fair question because he's produced pretty well, and I think his attitude is exactly what they want, and I think there's a lot of great stuff with Chris Rodriguez. George, thanks for the call. I'm going to let you hang up and listen. George hung up himself, so I didn't have to let him hang up and listen. Hope you're still listening. I think Chris is just limited as a player. He's not the greatest pass catcher. He's not super elusive in space. He doesn't have great top-end speed. And his blocking, I would say, goes in waves. It's not a willingness thing. It's a, do you see it? Do you execute? Do you know what your assignment is? And he's missed some over the years. And I don't know what his meeting habits and things are. I'm guessing those are pretty good because DQ is really, really complimentary of him when Chris came in and got his opportunity last year and was like, man, this guy stayed ready. He came to work. He's professional. And I think he even got his opportunity in a week after they had to cut him on Friday. And they were like, hey, man, we're going to bring you back in the practice squad on Monday, or we're going to have to bring you back on Monday. And next thing you know, he's playing major minutes the next week. And so I think there's a lot of good stuff with Chris Rodriguez, but he's a fairly limited player versus Robinson has a little bit more juice, a little bit more pop. He's more consistent. And some of the other stuff he does is at a higher level than Rodriguez. But I think that's also kind of the point. Like, there's not a huge difference between the two. B-Rob, I think, as an athlete, you look at and you're like, oh, that guy versus Chris Rodriguez, shorter, squattier. B-Rob's just like a big freaking dude who moves really well. He's super smooth in how he gets in and out of cuts and all that kind of stuff. B-Rob was a third rounder. Chris Rodriguez was a sixth rounder. And like the difference in production between the two is not enormous if they were to be given the same opportunities, in my opinion. And so, of course, you want the guy who's better, the guy who can do more, the guy that's less limiting for your offense. But that is kind of the question you're ultimately asking is, okay, let's say we can definitely get a better running back in the first round than we can in the third round or the fourth round. How much better? And then you ask the question in reverse, if I'm passing up on a pass rusher, an offensive lineman, or whatever, understanding the drop off later and kind of trying to do your best to predict how the rest of the draft is going to play out is also a pretty paramount part of your success as a GM and as someone running a draft room. And the depth at running back in this class, but also in most classes, is there, where it's a little thinner at some other positions. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Sean in Cincinnati. Sean, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What do you think about the Commanders taking a running back early in the draft later this month?
Hey, Craig. So I have a hard time personally thinking that they'll do anything besides defense with the first pick, even if they trade back. You know, if it's a high second rounder, they'll probably still take an edge rusher or a quarterback, in my opinion. But I'd be extremely happy if they were able to get Trevion or any of the other guys, like you said, it's a deeper class that's got speed, because I think it would be great if they were able to do a sort of a Lions combo with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but have Brian Robinson be kind of your bruiser and then get some speed out of the draft. You know, just have teams really not be able to withstand a rushing attack if you have sort of a 1-2 combo like that. Or even like a Lamar and
Derrick Henry
situation where it's like you've got two runners that you got to respect, you know, and Lamar is also a top tier passer. So I think, you know, if they were to do something with the first or second pick and then you really transform the offense into something like the Ravens or the Lions where defenses are much more scared of you with both the run attack and the pass attack instead of just having to worry about Jaden himself. So I think that would be a great outcome of the draft. I'd be happy with either of those.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thought, and thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it, Sean. I think the other thing to think about, too, is, you know, every evaluator is going to look at something a little different. And that's something else I want to point out about this running back position when we get back. I just pulled up three different running back lists, and you're not going to believe how different they are. And then the secondary point on that is, what do we actually do with that information? 301-230-0980. We'll take more of your calls as well next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Jerami Green, who might be one of the most insightful, but also one of the funniest draft analysts covering the NFL, he's going to join us at 5 o'clock, courtesy of Take Command. We talked to Jerami this morning, Anthony, for an hour 15.
An hour 15? Good gracious.
Yeah, we just got going. And I was like, this is too good to stop, so we're just going to keep on going. And the dude is hilarious. I want to make Tony go through the entire episode and just pull out every single Jeremy-ism that happened. Because dude's from Asheville, North Carolina, big, thick beard, big old country accent, had a background as a stand-up comic, and now he does, like, incredible... Like, to give you an idea of the level of detail Jerami gets into, he like, we asked him about edge players, and he goes, well, do you want true pass rush and edges, or do you want five techniques? And we're like, now you're talking our take command kind of language. And so we got into some good granular detail, but he also would just have these sayings that were hilarious, and I just want a compilation of all of them.
Well, I can't wait.
If you decide to listen and you want to mark down all the timestamps, I'll cut it.
All right.
Or I'll make Tony do it. Just, you know, we'll have someone do it. Real quick, breaking news coming through right now. Cardinals are making Pro Bowl tight end Trey McBride the highest paid tight end in NFL history. 4-year, $76 million extension for McBride. So good for Trey McBride. Commanders, they certainly would love a Trey McBride type of player. Where was Trey McBride drafted, Anthony?
Third round?
I believe that's correct. Draft. He was second rounder, 55th overall. So end of the second round. And that's kind of the thing. You can find weapons everywhere. But at times, you know, guys are special. And is it worth it to take, say, a halfback at the top of the, or the bottom of the first round, or in the second round at the top of your draft? But Anthony, I think the harder thing too, or one of the hard things to figure out, is like, which guy? And this is the part where I'm hesitant with where the Commanders are, unless one of two guys falls. Everyone agrees Ashton Jeanty is the top guy in this class, and Omarion Hampton is really special as well, the running back out of North Carolina, and he's second. But here's PFF's rankings. Okay, and I just picked three random ones. There's a bunch out there. Start with PFF. So I guess these are Trevor's rankings. Trevor Sikkema, Ashton Jeanty, Omarion Hampton, Cam Scadabo is his next highest back. Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State, Dylan Sampson, Caleb Johnson out of Iowa, Travion Henderson out of Ohio State. He's got as the 70th player on his board. Okay. Jeremy Green, the guy they're just talking about that you'll hear from at 5 o'clock, he's got Jeanty Hampton. He's got Caleb Johnson third, Cam Scadabo fourth, Henderson fifth, Ollie Gordon, Oklahoma State sixth, and then Junkins seventh. By the way, where is the K-State kid on, or not K-State? What did I say? Get in, send it. Yeah, the dude who's sixth on Jeremy's board, Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State. Where is he even on? He's Trevor's 207th player.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's a little bit different. Then you have Scouts Inc., ESPN Scouting Service. They've got Jeanty 1, Hampton 2, Travion Henderson 3, Quinshon Judkins 4, Caleb Johnson 5, Scadabo 6, Sampson 7, and then guys on down the list. They've got, the 24th best back they've got is Ollie Gordon.
Man.
Jeremy Green's got him 6th. And that's the kind of thing, and I'm not just like picking on one guy, but like there's people that really, really like Jadon Blue, the Texas back. There's people that really, really like Trevor Etienne, the Georgia back, Travis's brother. So there's a guy named Marcus Yams, or no, sorry, it's Yarns. The R and the N look like it was Yams. And I was like, if dude's name is Marcus Yams, that's a halfback name. That's like a Madden created player name.
Yeah.
Marcus, you might need to change your name. But the point is, like, there's a bunch of dudes in this draft. I mean, I remember, who said it? It might have been Dane Brugler, who was like, last year, I thought Jordan James out of Oregon was better than Bucky Irving when I watched him in the same offense. And then Bucky came out and was a 1,000-yard back as a rookie in Tampa. So I think that's kind of the struggle for me and where I ultimately come down here on the first-round pick, spending it on a back if it's not Hampton or Jeanty. I don't know that I'm getting that much better of a player, and I think that the depth of the class and the options that exist are probably not worth using that pick on, even if I think they definitely need to take a running back somewhere in this draft, because Anthony, you reminded me of this in the break. They don't have any backs under contract in 2026. So getting someone who can have some continuity from year one to year two is probably good, because you might re-sign Eckler if he continues to play. You might bring back Robinson. You got guys like Chris Rodriguez floating around. And you also have some of the practice squad guys that were around last year. I'm now blanking totally on his name. The kid from USC. Austin something. Him. Might not be Austin. Kid from USC. Like, had a good preseason. Never got a snap. He's still floating around on the practice squad and is on the 90-man roster. What happens if he takes a leap and makes the team? So I think that's kind of the thing where I'm at with running back, is there's just too many options, too many ways that unless you're getting someone that you think is truly, 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 truly special, it's not worth the first round pick to invest in that spot.
But you'd be willing to invest in that spot in the second round.
If the guy's the best player on the board, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? If the guy, you know, if the guy that you've got is the best player on the board, or if you think Travion Henderson is that special, then sure. If you think he's a first round talent, like this is how this goes, right? Like ultimately, you got to be right about the player, but what doesn't change is the reward. If you're right or not, what does change is the risk, position over position. Because if you miss on, say you miss on an offensive tackle at 29, a lot of those guys, one, it's an easier position to evaluate. Tackle is, offensive line is often thought to be the easiest position to evaluate. So you're not doing as much projection. But also, a lot of times you take that tackle, and especially at 29, it's one thing when you do it at 5, looking at you, Brandon Sheriff and Scott McLuhan. But if you do it at 29 and he fails at tackle, it's like, all right, well, we got a guard at least. We got a starter. We got a swing tackle, maybe. But hopefully you got a starter at tackle. You do it at running back and you miss, it's like there's probably going to be 4 other running backs that got taken that are going to have good careers later, if not 6. And the chances of you finding a good running back later are pretty high. The chances of you finding a good edge or a good tackle later, the premium positions that tend to go earlier, a good corner later, that's a lot harder of a sell. So 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We'll get back to the phones and whether or not you think that Commanders spending a first-round pick especially, but even a second-round pick on a running back is wise or not next. First, let's take a look at what's trending. Stop and show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too. At the Team 980, we're brought to you by the DC Defenders. Spring football is in full bloom. The DC Defenders take on the Memphis Showboats in the Blossom Bowl at Audi Field this Saturday, April 5th. It's a cherry blossom celebration. Get your tickets now at ufldefenders.com/tickets. That's ufldefenders.com/tickets. We go back to the phones at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We're asking you about taking a running back in the first or second round for the Commanders. Let's go to Ray in Clinton. Ray, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's up, Hoffman? What's going on with you?
Not too much, bro. Appreciate you calling in. What you got for me on this running back question?
My first or second round, if it's not a Marion Hampton, no. I'm not going to swing on that because you got 13 running backs, man, and the top 13 running backs, all of them with 1,000-yard rushes. So I mean, Amarion Hampton and Anson Jensen, they special. You take a swing for them, but other than that, man, you got to pick your you need to draft for need or best player available. You know, right now we don't need a running back, but would you like to have a better running back? Of course you do. Do you need an edge rusher? Yes, you do. Would you like to have a better edge rusher? Yes. It's a whole lot of other positions that we could draft in that first round other than running back. If it's not Amarion Hampton, I'm getting it. Anybody else, any other running back, no. I'm going to wait because you have, just like I said, the top 13 running backs that's rated, everybody's rating, all of them have 1,000 yards rushing. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that they're coming into the league that's going to have 1,000 yards rushing, but at least they know the concept of the game. You know, it's just that the NFL is a whole lot faster. They just got to get a whole lot faster in their thought process. But me, if it's not Amarion Hampton, no. And I'm out. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Ray. I see you. All right. He's gone. Bye, Ray. Dang, Ray.
He dropped the mic.
He did. I thought he was a great call. I thought he correct points. I agree with this take. It's almost like Ray came in looking for a fight.
Very emphatic.
I was like, I got nothing to fight you on, bro. Like you've nailed the nature of the running back position. There's a lot of dudes that have had a lot of success, and a lot of that tends to carry over to the league. And unless you get a guy that's really special, paying a premium for something that is replaceable is economically stupid. So there's that. Also, just real quick for, you know, to emphasize this point too, in terms of like the long-term view of like first round pick guy, you want to be a part of your team for 10 years, ideally, right? The second contract for running backs, very, very squirrely often. Guys like Saquon, fine. That dude can have a second contract. Most guys, you don't necessarily want to give a second contract. And even at the tight end position, you know, if you make, hold on, I need to do some math here real quick. 29th pick, 2024 draft. 29th pick was Tyler Guyton. Okay, so now I need Tyler Guyton's contract. Tyler Guyton contract. I promise this is going somewhere. Commanders adjacent, and it also coincides with news that broke 5 minutes ago. So last year, Guyton as a rookie counted 2.3 against the cap. In year four, he'll count 4.1 against the cap. Okay? So we're talking probably a $4.5 million player with the cap hike, maybe a $5 million player 4 years from now. Okay? Trey McBride just signed the richest contract for a tight end in NFL history. It's 19 a year. So even if you take Colson Loveland, which would be a steal at 29, like really exceptional pass catching tight end, outstanding route runner, like played at a big program, made big catches, has some blocking ability. You're getting that at a quarter of the price, right? Of the average annual value, not even a quarter of the price. Because that first year, Guyton made 2.3. So you're talking about 2.5, 2.8 probably this year for that 29th pick. If you're getting an edge rusher for that, and Myles Garrett's now making 40, Trey Hendrickson's probably going to sign for the low 30s. You got other dudes that are signing 34, you know, even the high 20s. Way different kind of discount. One-tenth, one-twentieth of the price. So that's another factor in this, is the value of that versus the value of taking a more premium position and what that allows you to spend on other positions. 301-230-0980. Let's wrap up with a couple more calls. Gary's been patiently waiting. Gary, 2 days in a row for you, bro. I don't know if we can keep meeting like this.
I know. I'm lucky to be in the car, man. Hey, look, thanks for taking my call. I agree with you. I don't think they should take a running back with one of the first two picks. I'm still on the defense, man. I don't think they've upgraded the defense, and they've signed a bunch of one-year deals with these guys. I think that every level, defensive line with an edge rusher, a linebacker, Bobby Wagner, he's not going to be there forever. And in the secondary, I think they need to focus on the defense. They've taken some heavy hits and swings on the offense. Again, this offense averaged 29 points a game last year. Now, they're going to have to adjust, and they may not be as good this year. But the defense is what they need to focus on, in my opinion. If there's a great wide receiver out there, fine. But in the first two picks of running back, I think there are other running backs out there. I think the league has shown that you can have good to great running backs in the third, fourth, fifth rounds. And I'm kind of comfortable with the running back room. I mean, I think it could be better, but with Eckler, I thought Eckler was washed up. I was completely wrong. And, you know, Robinson, he's not the guy that we want him to be, but he's not a bad running back. It's not worth the first round pick, in my opinion, or the second round pick. And, you know, the only thing that gives me hesitation is I'm not 100% sold that Peters is a guy that can find someone in the later rounds of the draft. Right now, his record on that front is spotty. He was great in free agency, got Jaden, but third, fourth, fifth rounds, there's still an open question.
So based off last year's draft class here, Gary, yes. some of the dudes he found in San Francisco, especially early, their draft record in San Francisco is not as stellar as I would like it to be, consistency-wise, but like, he found Kittle in the fifth. Like, he found Warner in the third. Hufanga, who, before he got hurt, was an all-pro. Like, I think he was a fifth-rounder as well. So, like, he's got, and a lot of those guys are credited, that those were Adam Fines. I think he's money in late, or can be money in late rounds, but he's got to do it. And that's, you know, that's the same for anybody in any profession doing anything. Like, it's one thing to have the skill set. It's another to execute it with regularity, especially in something that's as crapshooty as the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, because I have a bunch of San Francisco friends, and they don't give him credit for those. Okay, they don't give him credit for those late round picks, and you know,
I mean, the people that cover the team do. That seems relevant.
Yeah, that's true. But he hasn't done it here. The fact that we're talking about a pass catching tight end. Okay, we just drafted one that was supposed to be that last year. We're talking about getting another wide receiver. Okay, we drafted one last year. So you know, he just, in my opinion, he hasn't shown it here in Washington at least. But I agree with you. I don't think he should do running back. I'm just a little hesitant of him finding someone in the later rounds based on what he did last year.
I hear you. And as usual, Gary, I think you bring up good points that are interesting for fodder. I'm going to let you run and we'll catch up another time. I think the thing about late round picks is they take time to develop. And that's like the definition of a late round pick. We're going to let you hear some of Jeremy Green appearing on Take Command earlier today. And the way, and his thoughts specifically on the receiver pool, which he is not very high on. And you've got to hear the Matthew Golden stat he has, the Texas wide receiver that I've kind of liked the idea of. And now I'm like, oh man, that is a piece of evidence that scares the bejesus out of me on Matthew Golden, the Texas receiver. So we'll play that for you next, and then we'll hit Never Read the Comments at 5:30. But we were talking about the process of prospect grading. And basically, Jeremy, like I accidentally said the way Jeremy grades. And he's like, I'm really glad you said that because this is how it works. If you are a really good player that I think can play right now and you can get better, that's a first round player to me. If you are either a good player right now but have a limited upside, or I don't think you can play right now but your ceiling's incredible, now you're a second round player. And then each layer of the onion, to use his analogy, that you peel back of readiness for now, upside for later, that basically drops you around. And so when you look at a guy like Luke McCaffrey, I think because of the pedigree, a lot of people look at Luke and they're like, oh, well, he should have been ready to play right away. That wasn't why they drafted Luke McCaffrey in the third round. Luke McCaffrey is not a low floor player. Luke McCaffrey was a quarterback 3 years ago at Rice. Then he transferred and became at Nebraska, and then transferred to Rice and started playing receiver and like showed some promise. And their bet is on the pedigree and the traits. He's big. He's got good speed. He is going to play his face off. So there's some upside there, but he's still learning how to play receiver. And you're just hoping that his football IQ and somewhere deep inside him is some of his father, who is a Hall of Fame receiver, not to mention how good his brother is at it. But like, it's not like he's switching from running back to receiver. This dude was playing quarterback. And so him being a third round pick says more about his upside than it does about his currentness. Dominique Hampton, fifth rounder. This is going to take multiple years for him to become the best version of himself if he's truly going to play linebacker in the NFL. We'll see. Jordan McGee, he's a guy that I think they thought could play a little bit more right now, but might have limited upside. And then he had injury issues, and then we'll see what it is in year two. So I'm not disagreeing with Gary's point that Adam hasn't really proven that he can do it as the GM with late round picks, because outside of Javonte Jean-Baptiste, who I thought played very well for a seventh rounder, those guys haven't panned out yet. But what I probably would have told you this time, or I guess, you know, 11 months ago, the week after the draft last year, is that's how that's going to go. These guys are raw and they need time, because if they didn't, they would have been higher picks. That's the nature of late round picks. 301-230-0980. That's always the phone number. Save it in your phone. Don't dial it right now because we're not taking any more calls until at least the 6 o'clock hour. But if you want to leave a comment on our YouTube page, that's a way you can still get your voice in the show because Never Read the Comments is just half an hour away. But next, the aforementioned Jeremy Green on this year's wide receiver class and why he is not very high on it for the Commanders nor, frankly, anybody else.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.